As Act 3 opens, Lycus sadly tells the people of Trachis that Hercules must now be mourned. After facing so many life-threatening dangers, he's fallen, and by a woman's hand. Lycus explains what happened. Hercules was in the temple of Jupiter. The shirt was presented to him, he put it over his shoulders, and suddenly he was poisoned. The pain was horrifying. When he tried to pull the shirt off, it tore his skin. Lycus bids farewell to the man he calls his gallant, unhappy chief. Of all the extraordinarily somber and intimate arias sung by Lycus, this is the most moving of them all. And listen to how the profound sadness of the moment comes through in David Daniels' singing in the phrases toward the end of this excerpt, where he pulls most of the vibrato out of his sound. The people yield to their grief in a chorus with three brief sections. They're anticipating that, with Hercules gone, tyrants won't be afraid to persecute slaves who won't have anyone to defend them. The first two sections of the chorus are a little more energetic. It's as if it takes the people a while to realize that Hercules' life really is about to end. I'll give you the last of the three sections, very dignified, and then fading away into nothing, as if the people are finally completely numbed by this moment. All fear of punishment is o'er. The world's avenger is no more. At the temple, Hercules is in agony, as if liquid fire were coursing through him. He calls out for Boreas, one of the four wind gods, to bring a blast of cold north wind. And if he can't have the wind, he hopes Neptune can bring the sea to cool his boiling blood. As you might expect, the coloratura now becomes frantic. It's only fitting for a recitative as dramatic as this to be accompanied by the orchestra instead of just keyboard and cello. It feels more like an aria, although a very brief one.
I rage. We've more than seen the pains. big with fire the sparkle poison. Boreas, bring thy Norman blast and fill my pools of war. For Neptune kindly pour the sea's calling it hard, the sea's calling it hard, for kindly pour. The sea's calling it flood into my breast, cool my boiling blood, and cool my boiling blood.
That Hercules had his difficulties with Juno, but now he says her malice was nothing compared to Dejanira's. He calls her mistaken, cruel, treacherous. He has a last request that he makes to his son. His body should be taken to the top of Mount Oeta. He wants to be placed on a funeral pyre, and after his death he hopes to soar up to the gods. "How is the hero fallen?" says Hyllus sadly. His aria continues the airy, buoyant, but still serious expression that characterizes most of Hyllus's music. It's colored with graceful bursts of coloratura, brilliantly ornamented here in the Da Capo by Richard Croft.
Let not hang our dying strength. Let not fail the tidings bring. Let not fail the tidings bring to proud Achaeus' conquered war. Let not fail the tidings bring to proud Achaeus' conquered war. Let not fail.
We go back to Hercules' palace, where guilt has driven Dejanira out of her mind. She sings a magnificent mad scene, beginning with the hard-hitting words, "Where shall I fly? Where hide this guilty head?" This is a mix of aria and accompanied recitative. I want to play three sections of it. First, the opening, which should be declaimed with a really scalding intensity in every syllable.
Where shall I fly? Impious hands have sent my injured lord untimely to the the shades. Let me be mad. Shady, give your knees to your rival beds and lash my guilty ghost with bits of scorpions.
Dejanira expects the Furies to chain her to their iron beds and lash her guilty ghost with whips of scorpions. Wow. Pretty terrifying to even think about that image. She actually envisions the Furies approaching her, the dreadful sisters. The coloratura becomes progressively more hysterical as horror overwhelms Dejanira when she cries, "What yellings rend my tortured ear?" Handel really rivets the listener with the way the voice takes a jagged leap upward, and then the music suddenly changes to the opposite extreme as the terrified Dejanira, with a bleak, stark vocal line, sings, "Hide me from their hated sight." Now Dejanira can't rid herself of the idea that she'll never be able to rest. That phrase, "no rest the guilty find," repeats over and over, hammering away at her.
Alas, alas the guilty find, as you wink your knees on the mind. Alas, no rest the guilty find, no rest the guilty find. Alas, no rest the guilty find, as you wink your knees on the mind.
When Iole appears, Dejanira calls her a detested sorceress. But then Dejanira realizes that madness is driving her to say such a thing. She knows Iole is innocent and that she, Dejanira, has caused this disaster. Even in her misery, Iole can pity Dejanira and her husband, as she sings in her last aria. The sweetness of these lines is really overwhelming, and emotionally it comes as balm to our souls after the agonies experienced by both Hercules and Dejanira. A priest reveals that the gods have decided to elevate Hercules to the court of Jupiter. The priest also lets the people know that on Mount Oeta, Hercules was stretched out on a funeral pyre where flames surrounded him. Suddenly an eagle flew to the pyre, alighted there for a moment, and then flew off again. Those who had brought Hercules there were confused. They went to a sacred grove where the oak trees seemed to speak. It was as if Jupiter was saying, "Even though Hercules' body has been consumed by fire, he'll be immortal on Mount Olympus, dwelling there forever with the other gods." In trying to understand her emotions at this moment, Dejanira can barely say anything. She feels grief, wonder, and joy all at the same time. The priest informs Iole that Jupiter wanted Hyllus to marry her, uniting Oechalia and Trachis. Iole happily agrees, knowing that, in any case, there'd be no point in resisting the will of Jupiter. She and Hyllus sing their duet. She begins it by telling him that she feels that the barriers between his feelings for her and her own heart have been conquered. Hyllus proclaims the joy he feels not only in loving Iole, but in the unity between their two lands. They rejoice in each other's happiness, and at last they get a moment of total exhilaration.
Thank you.
The priest exhorts everyone to sing the praises of Hercules, who's now raised to Olympus, the starry mansion. The people join in a final chorus hailing the hero. He'll make oppression shun the light, and slavery hide her head in depths of night. Happy climes owe to his example the blessings that flow from peace and freedom. Hercules, one of the most beautiful, eloquent, and moving works in all of Handel. Among audiences internationally, it's a piece whose time has finally come. The excerpts heard in this commentary are used by permission of Deutsche Grammophon Archiv Records. Thank you for listening.